because I got a message, but that ain't what I'm doing, but it's going to be similar. In this place tonight, in the city of Madison, in the state of Wisconsin, in all the world, there are people that are looking for something that's real. There are people that are hurting. They are tired of life. That's why we have suicides every day, because they have no hope. I went to church every Sunday as a young man, and my dad and me would look up into the heavens and see all the creation, all the stars. And we would talk, and it's like the God that we cannot see and we have not really experienced is so awesome. He's so great. And the religion that I was in was like, I was doing things I didn't want to do, but there was no power to help me not to do that, which I did. I mean, Brother Hawk, I wasn't locked up like you, but I've been locked up. I've been on Huber Law, man. Daddy used to come pick me up and take me back to the farm so I could work and take me back to the jailhouse so, you know, you could strip off your clothes and bend over so they could check you all out, make sure you ain't sneaking nothing in. You know, all that fun stuff. It's like, I didn't want to live that life. But there was the religion, there was nothing there. There was no power. And it wasn't till a man asked me for a Bible study. And really, as he taught me the Bible study, go to Mark 16 and verse 15. Because it says, then he said unto them, go ye and preach. Come on. Preach with me. Amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the Great Commission. We are to go into all the world, everywhere, and preach the gospel. But what's the gospel? Good news. Break it down. Come on. Good news. What good news? I want $1 million. That's good news. No. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. How does that apply to me? Come on. If you don't break it down, good news could be anything. But somebody shared the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. When they told me I had to die to self, well, I wasn't doing a very good job of running my life the way it was. So I died to self because I wasn't making good choices. And then when I was buried in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ, I knew those sins were remitted, because when I went under the water, it felt like God took a big baby bottle brush and scrubbed me out. I never felt so clean in all my life. On the way to church, man, I chewed. I used to chew. And I packed a chew and I spit all the way to church. And when I got there, I got rid of my chew and walked in the steps. And I knew I was getting baptized that night. I had a can of chew in my pocket. And I'm sitting in church and we had an awesome message. I don't remember what he preached, but I knew what I was going to do that night. I was going to get baptized. And when I got baptized and I come up out of the water, it felt like I was under there forever, man. It ain't forever, but it took all that forever sin away. And when I come up out of the water, I felt so clean. When I walked out to church, it's like, I don't need you no more. And I chucked that thing as far as I could get it. See, I was crying for help, but religion don't help you. Religion doesn't do anything for anybody. But when you apply the gospel, that good news, to your life, things change. Pull up John chapter 4, I think 2 and 3. 3 and 4. Okay. There is a woman. Amen. But I like what Jesus said here. He left Galilee. Go back to 3. He left Galilee and departed again, or Judea, and departed again unto Galilee. But then verse 4 says, he must needs go through Samaria. You got to understand something. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans. But if you wanted to get from Judea to Galilee, the quickest and easiest way was going through Samaria. Or what most Jews did is you could go along the Jordan River. It took a little longer, but you didn't have to deal with the Samaritans. But Jesus said, I needs go through Samaria. And the whole story is he met this woman there who, her life was a mess. She had 5 husbands, and the guy she was living with, she was shacked up. She's on her 6th husband. Obviously, she married some really high workers that just died quick, or married gladiators that died quick, or something, because she's on her 6th guy already. I mean, 5 husbands gone, and she's on another one. But she was looking for something. And she was kind of probably despised because she was going to the well when nobody else did. So while she was going there to get water, Jesus is hanging out at the well. And he begins to talk with her. Pull up verse 25, and then we'll look at 26. But he basically, she has this remark after Jesus told her some things about her. The woman saith unto him, Jesus, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So she had a revelation, understanding that if I want to get help, I need to go to this man called Messiah or Christ, because he will take care of my situations, my needs. And then verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am. Do you know that in the Bible recorded, you can count on one hand how many times Jesus told people who he was? Here was a Samaritan woman that Jesus opened up himself to. And because of it, she brought all of Samaria out to meet Jesus and told them what Jesus did. And they said, we don't believe now because of what you said. We believe because we've heard him for ourselves. But somebody had to bring those people to Jesus so they could hear. That's what we are. We're that woman that whose life is all messed up. But when Jesus comes to us and reveals who he is to us, that we understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the God of all creation, the creator of all things. He can help us. So what am I going to do? I'm going to bring as many people as possible to meet this man called Jesus. And when I bring this one will bring that one, and that one will bring that one. And it's a chain reaction. But it takes somebody to do that, to bring them to Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. Everyone. Too many times we want to pick and choose. We look at that person and go, I ain't talking to that person. They wouldn't receive it anyway. Oh, yeah, that's probably the person that would receive it more than the person you think would receive it. Because their life is so messed up. When we go to the roughest parts of Antigua, when we go into Hatton and Grace Farms where the drugs and people get chopped up all the time and shot, man, we were there for almost a year. We couldn't get to 2 or 3 houses on a Saturday. They were so hungry. And we would, what? Share the death, burial, and resurrection with them. Amen? So, Let's go to Acts 16, or no, go to Acts 8. I want to show you how important sharing the gospel is. Acts 8 and verse 30 and 31. Philip is in the desert. I don't know, but, you know, I guess that's a place you can look for somebody. Of course, he was sent there by the Lord. Go to the desert. But while he was there, Philip runneth hither to him. There's a man in a chariot, Ethiopian eunuch, and he was a worshiper of God because he was in Jerusalem worshiping God. He's going back home. So here's a worshiper of God, but he doesn't know God. But he's a worshiper. So he's in his chariot, and the Lord says, why don't you catch yourself up that chariot? See, sometimes it takes work to witness to people. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I want to run after a chariot to try to tell somebody. But Philip did. And it's so neat because it says, run up hither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. The book, the Bible, is a spiritual book. Without the Holy Ghost, you might read it, but you don't understand it. You can't comprehend what it's saying. So Philip's going, do you understand what you're reading? And look what he says. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired, come on, Philip. He desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. There are people out there that you might not think, but they want you to tell them about Jesus. They do. This just happened 2-3 weeks ago, the end of February, first part of March, whatever it was. Dad had to go in to get physical therapy, and while we're there, he's been talking to his physical therapist about the Holy Ghost and about this and about that, and this guy was in one of them churches that you can do anything, kind of like it's non-denominational. Okay. Anyway, and he was doing a lot of work for them. But he said, I've wanted the Holy Ghost for 3 years. He's gone to that church for over 3 years. I've gone to that church for 3 years. And he says, I can't get the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost, but I just haven't received it yet. And when he got done with Dad's therapy and Dad walked out the room, I said, so Pablo, you want the Holy Ghost? He goes, yeah. I said, that's no problem. I said, all you got to do is repent of your sins, and we can do that right now, and you can have the Holy Ghost. So Pablo said, well, let's go in my office. Well, the door was open anyway, but we went in his office, and I just said, Pablo, I said, we're going to repent right now, and I'll repent with you. But when you get done, man, just lift your hands and begin to worship God. And right there in Pablo's office, this is not in Antigua. This is in the USA in Texas. So don't tell me that this only happens overseas. I just prayed the guy through, man. Anyway, he lifts his hands and he just starts speaking in tongues, man. And he spoke in tongues and he spoke in tongues and he spoke in. He was like, wow. He's like, I've been waiting for this for 3 years. But somebody should guide me. When you know what the gospel is, it's easy to help somebody. That's why we pray so many people through on the street. Well, I almost prayed my Catholic dentist that was in Mexico, who lives in Texas, through the Holy Ghost. When I told her to lift her hands, man, she was like, she never lifted her hands in her life. But she lifted her hands and the power of God come down and she almost got it. She was like this close. But here's this lady that did not know, but she was willing to lift her hands basically to a stranger, because that's what I was. She was just doing what I told her to do. And as we prayed, God was right there. And if she would have just reached out a little more, God would have filled her with the Holy Ghost. On Saturday, just this last Saturday, I was in Melville, Arkansas. And we were doing outreach with Pastor Gardner. And we drove around, and there was this one guy walking down the street, and he said, I'll turn around. So he turned around. I got out the car, and I walked up to him. I start talking to this guy. He had a backpack on his back. And I start talking to him, and he didn't want to talk to me. He says, I ain't got no time for you. And I said, the Lord sent me to you to talk to you, to tell you. And he just stopped and said, well, okay, talk. And he said, but I got to go to the bathroom, man. Can we go to McDonald's? I said, no problem, because it was a couple blocks down the street. I said, we'll walk. And then pastor goes, ah, just jump in the van or car, and we'll go over there. So we got into McDonald's. He got rid of, he relieved himself. He got did his job. But then we just sat there in the table in McDonald's, and we began to pray with that man. And he was this close to getting the Holy Ghost too. But he was taught that he had the Holy Ghost, because these people that don't know, he was told, he goes, well, I don't have, and I was praying in tongues and just going. I said, come on, man, you're right there. I mean, if he would have just opened his mouth a little more, he would have been speaking in tongues. He was so close. I said, come on, you're right there, man. But he goes, I don't have the gift of tongues yet. I said, we're not talking about the gift of tongues. That's a different deal. And you ain't going to get the gift of tongues without the gift of the Holy Ghost. The evidence is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Amen? Jason. Jason's his name. Amen. I think it's Jason. It's a J. I know that. These are people that are, and he started, man, when we just started ministering to him, before we even started praying, tears are running down his face. His life was a mess. He goes, man, I want to get back with God, because he says, I'm backslidden and this and that. And he was reaching for help. But when he first met me, he didn't want to even talk to me. Sometimes you just got to be persistent. Not mean, but you got to understand something. You got something they need, and they don't know it. I do. Except a man be born of what? And you ain't getting in. It says you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So if that is the scenario and you know that, then we can't give up. We can't be quiet about the gospel. They're very adamant about it. We'll just go to Acts 16. See how adamant they are about it. Let's look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the midnight. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Paul wanted to go different places. God said, I got a place for you to go. Paul wanted to go here. God said, I want you to go there. Why? Because there were people there that needed him. Amen? There was somebody crying for help. In verse 14 and 15, we find a lady called Lydia, a seller of purple. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which, come on, read this with me, which worshipped God. She worshiped God. She was a worshiper. But she had a need. She worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What was Paul speaking about? Look at the next verse. It tells us. And when she was baptized and her whole household, obviously, he must have been talking about baptism. And I didn't even get to it. I'm sorry, I forgot to go to it. But remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? We didn't even read the scripture, because that was verse 36 in chapter 8, where the Ethiopian eunuch is riding with Philip in the chariot and goes, hey, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Stop the chariot, man. Let me get out. What does the book of Isaiah have anything to do with baptism? He was reading out of the book of baptism, out of the book of Isaiah, all of a sudden the guy sees water and he wants to be baptized? Obvious, Philip was saying, you know the one that you're reading about? His name is Jesus Christ. He died to set you free. And the way to receive that is when you die to self. Repent. When you are buried in a watery grave in his name, all your sins are removed. And you can walk in newness of life. You can be filled with his spirit. Because he was reading Isaiah, but by the time the story gets done, the guy's baptized and goes on his way rejoicing. Now here's Lydia. She's a worshiper of God. She's down by the seaside. She hears Paul preaching. Obviously, he must have been preaching the good news, the gospel. Because what happens? You find her and her whole house being baptized. Right? Amen. And if we go on to the jailer, amen, in verse 31, the Philippian jailer, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Amen. God doesn't just save you to keep it to yourself. He saves you that your whole house can be saved. Amen? But you got to understand something. The Philippian jailer didn't really know Paul and Silas other than they got beat for preaching or casting out a devil. Really, they cast out a devil and they made a whole bunch of noise about it. The owners of the woman that got the devil cast out, that we just got ripped off because now we can't make no money on this woman because she can't prophesy. But while they're in jail, all beat up, chained up, tied up, they're worshiping God. It's amazing that when the earthquake happened and all the doors opened up, their chains fell off. I don't know how that could happen anyway, just with an earthquake. I've been in earthquakes. I've never seen no chains fall off and doors open up. Well, I have seen doors open up. I've seen light fixtures, things swing down. Because we had a 7.2 earthquake when I was plastering a wall one time. And like a fool, you don't do this, but I wanted to see if it was going to hold together, Pastor. I built the thing. It better hold. We had a 7.2. I mean, it was shaking, shaking, shaking. And when I got down off the scaffolding, I was three scaffolds up. When I got down, I jumped in the window inside the building, and I'm looking to see if it's going to stay together. Stupid. You don't jump in the building when it's an earthquake. You get out of them. But I built it. I want to make sure it's going to hold together. That's just, I don't know. I wouldn't have been in that many earthquakes anyway, but that was me. Mom and Liana was there. They're hiding underneath the kitchen table. Earthquake, get under the table. This is like, I guess they were doing the right thing. I did the stupid thing. I jumped in and, you know, looking at everything. Is it going to hold up there or not? Could have fell on my head, I guess. So the Philippian jailer asks, well, what should I do to be saved, you know? And 32, you got it there, yeah. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And his whole house was baptized at midnight. Amen. What were they speaking to him? If you cannot enter the kingdom of God except you be born again of water and of spirit, I can guarantee you what they were telling them. Sis, if you don't repent of your sins, die to self, and then go down in a watery grave in Jesus' name so all those sins can be washed away. See, when I was in jail and I did my time, they let me out. I was forgiven. But guess what, brother? I still had that big, long record. They knew exactly what I did, how I did it, and when I did it. But when I was baptized, that record of sin is like the governor going, no more, buddy. You're clean, clean, clean. Uh-huh. And I was clean, clean, clean. No more record. It's gone. And then God filled me with that precious Holy Ghost. The good news, the gospel. There are so many people crying for help all over this place. And we can't be picky and choosy. We were doing, when that Saturday, when Edwin, remember Edwin? Mom called me up the other day, Sunday morning. I was talking to Mom Sunday morning. She goes, "Who's singing?" Because we got the walk path alongside the church. Edwin's coming down the walking path. He don't have a bucket on his head now. He's got a shirt and a tie. Looking good, and he's singing about Jesus. Coming, that ain't Edwin, man. Edwin used to walk around with this bucket on his head full of stuff, and his clothes were always ratty, tatty, torn up. He had shoes that never fit because they were like tennis shoes with no strings. You just kind of slide your foot in it and step on the back because they were never the right size. That was Edwin. And every time you see Edwin, he's going like, "Man, I don't got no money, heart. I need something to eat. Would you buy what I picked?" Man, he'd go up to the tamarind tree, pick our tamarinds off of our tree, and then try to sell them to us. But, hey, he was picking them. That's the truth. We know where he got the tamarinds from. He'd walk by, go up by the tamarind tree, pick the tamarinds, and come back and say, "Would you like to buy some tamarinds?" You know, it's like, well, I guess he's willing to do the work. He's worth his hire, you know. But Edwin was always short of money, never had money for food. I don't know where he lived. And it was just, woe is me. But when he got baptized, and when he come up out of the water, he looked like Edwin. There was nothing different about him. I didn't see nothing different about Edwin. Edwin dried himself off and put his other clothes back on and walked home. But Edwin was there Sunday morning. But then 2 weeks later, Leroy showed up with Edwin going, "I don't know what you guys did to him, but something happened, and I want what he's got, and I want to be baptized too." And then Leroy, man, he's sitting right up here, and he gets the Holy Ghost. Edwin didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. Edwin didn't have it, but Leroy got it. Leroy's like 56 years old. Want to talk about worshiper, man? Tell you what, he put the young guys to shame. First time in church, man, he's up here just running and dancing and jumping. He's just like, woo, and he's just feeling good. All because somebody shared the gospel. So while we're baptizing Edwin and all that stuff was going on, Benjamin and Eugene, they were teaching this. First, they started talking to the mother, taught her the Bible study, our outreach Bible study. And then she says, "My son needs to hear this." So she gets her son in there. So they teach it again. Then she goes, "My daughter needs to hear this." So she calls her daughter and they teach it again, three different times that morning. And we kind of just get done baptizing Edwin. Benjamin calls, "Dad, I got a family, a mom and two of her kids. They're wanting to be baptized." I said, "Okay." And he brought them. And we prayed there and baptized them. The mom already had the Holy Ghost. Her son got the Holy Ghost in the tank. The daughter is going to get it soon. But when Benjamin took them back home, this is a Saturday morning. When they left, their father was gone. But when they got back, the father was there. And he goes, "Where did you guys go? I leave you for a little bit and you're gone." And then mom's pointing to Benjamin going like, "You tell him. You tell him where you were or where we were." Anyway, she told her husband, "Well, we all just got baptized in Jesus' name." So then Benjamin had to teach her husband a Bible study. And he goes, "I see it." But he had roots, he had position, he had all kinds of stuff in another church. And he's like, "How can all these guys be telling them something that's not true or right?" And I kind of explain it like this. Most everybody that goes to church, they love God. Come on, amen. Can I get amen? So that's not the problem. The problem is you can only tell me what you know. So even if you go to another church and even if you got a pastor that's teaching people, he can only teach you what he knows. So it might not be that he doesn't love God. And I kind of explain it to him like this. If you want to learn how to fly an airplane, don't call a driving instructor. You're going to be in trouble. So it might not be that they don't love God. They just don't know. Like this man that wanted the Holy Ghost for 3 years. I didn't even meet him for an hour, and he's talking in tongues. Because I know what needs to happen, and it happens. Because I just shared it with him. And so, anyway, Kester, who is the husband, he has the Holy Ghost, but he's been struggling, man. He came once here and once there. It's been over 2 months with Kester, but guess what? Kester came Sunday morning, just last Sunday morning, and Kester got baptized. And when he come up out of the water, he said, all that stuff that was going on that I was struggling with inside is gone. He says, I feel so good now. I feel complete. I feel like what needed to happen, happened. But every Saturday, man, we was over at his house trying to tell him the word, teach him the word. And he goes, and it's like, I see it, man. He heard the gospel about 400 different ways. And not just from us, man, but our other guys that do outreach, man. They told him this way, that way, another way. Because it's that important to share with people the gospel, the good news. Amen? So, we have made it a point that we don't care where we're at, but wherever we are, we are going to share the gospel. Even if I think it offends you. Because if you don't get the gospel, you ain't going to make heaven your home. And we were so blessed because our parents, Kathy's mom and my parents, bought us a ticket to Israel. And in November, we got to go to Israel. But our goal for going to Israel wasn't to go walk by the Sea of Galilee. Any place I ever went where I preached when I knew I was going to go to Israel, you know what I told them? I didn't tell them one thing about, oh, it'll be great to go see all those things. I said, when I get over there, I am praying that I get to meet Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu, and I'm going to pray that man through the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to see him baptized. Now, it didn't happen, but that don't mean it couldn't have happened. And my whole goal for going over there wasn't just to see the sights, but it was to pray their prime minister through the Holy Ghost. And Mom didn't have faith like that. She said, you better stop telling those people that, because how are you going to get to see him? I said, I don't know, but it can happen. And that's why I was going over there. Mom just was happy to pray the maid through. She was going to pray the maid through the Holy Ghost. But we didn't care. Our whole goal when we went over there was to minister to people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, it doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter who we are. When you have been forgiven of your sins in repentance, when you have been baptized and your sins are washed away, when God fills you with that Holy Ghost, His Spirit, you become His witness. 24/7. Not Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, not Sunday morning at 10 or 6 o'clock at Sunday night. No, we're witnesses 24/7. Wherever we go, that's why we pray people through at Sam's Club, in the airport, at the bus stop, in their car. It's that important. Will you hear the cry for help? I had all kinds of scriptures I could give you that'll back up what I'm saying. I got the word. If you want the word, I'll give you the word. But what I wanted to just share with you tonight, these are people that we have ministered to because we know that they had a need. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to give up. You know, we've been chased down the street because they didn't like what we were saying. We've had people get up out of our church hot mad because they didn't think they had to speak in other tongues. But we weren't mean. We just showed them the Word of God. And they said, I don't believe this. And they left. Well, you're in my house, and I'm going to tell you what the Word of God tells us. Whether you receive it or not, that's your part. Oh, Ezekiel, I wish I had it, man. It's in the book of Ezekiel, talking about the watchman on the wall. And it says, if you don't warn them, their blood is going to be on you. I don't want nobody's blood on me. Amen? So we got to do it in love. But we got to do it. You can't be afraid about sharing the gospel with anybody. It is so, if it's the good news, why are you afraid of it? If you know what it done for you, what are you worried about? So we tell everybody as much as possible, as often as possible, what it takes to be saved and the benefits of it. You get to make heaven your home. Amen? That's what it's all about, church. And our goal this year, if you want to pray for a goal, help us, because our goal last year was 100, either baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. And we came in at 5 minutes to midnight with 101. Amen? But our goal this year, because it's 2015, we just figured a good goal would be 215. Well, how are you going to do that? Real simple. Go out there. Jesus is going to do the work. But I'm going to believe him for 215, either baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. So if you can believe with us, I would really appreciate that you begin to pray for us and with us. And I appreciate, I've talked to a number of you people, and you've told us, I pray for you every day. I pray for Antigua every day. Man, I don't think I do. I think, man, that guy's more, he prays for me more than I pray for him. I don't pray for myself. I really don't. I mean, I pray for things, but I don't pray for myself. But here's people that pray every day. It's just like for us and for Antigua. It's like, thank you. I want to say thank you. Thank you. You pray for me more than I do. Thank you. But we want to be a part of what God's doing. And everything that's done in Antigua is because of what you guys have done. There's no big I's, little U's. It's we work together. We are laborers together in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, who wants to share the gospel with somebody? What's the gospel? Okay. Now you better know how to show somebody in the Word where that gospel is. That's what I could have showed you, but hopefully you know where it is. Because if you can't show somebody in the Word where it's at, shame on you. When we're on the street, sis, and we come up to somebody and go, I'm a Christian. Great. That means you love God. So what does it take to be saved? Well, can you show me then what it takes to be saved? You want to shake these people and say, if you can't tell me and you can't show me, how do you know you're saved? Right? And because these people have been told a lie that, you know, just do this or do that and everything's going to be all right. No. We should be able to explain it to anybody. What does it take to be saved or set free from sin? However you want to put it. And if you don't know how, bishop and pastor will teach you. They're good teachers. Amen? And we got Bible studies that just has the new birth Bible study. And that's what we take on the street. And that's what we teach. That's why we have people come back on Saturdays to get baptized. Why? Because they've seen for the very first time their need to be baptized. So if you want to be used by God, if you want to be a missionary to Madison, Metro missionaries, yes. That's what we're looking for, Metro missionaries. Amen? I want you to come up here because we're going to pray for y'all. If you want God to use you, if you want to be able to share the gospel, I want you to come up here. I want you to make a statement before everybody that, Lord, I want you to use me to do your will where I live, at my workplace. And if you need the Holy Ghost after we get done praying for this, God will take care of that. If you need healing, God can take care of that. But we want to equip the church to do the will and work of God. The only thing that you need to do the work of God is a desire and availability. God is looking for availability. If you're back there, sis, so they can see the scripture, Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Don't say that people don't want to hear this. The harvest truly is plenteous. But the what? Are. So what are we supposed to pray? Now, I'm going to change this, and you're not supposed to add to the Word of God, but let me add to it tonight. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth me. We'll just change the word laborers to me. Send forth me into his harvest. This ain't my work. This ain't pastor's work. This is his work. Send me into your field, Lord, that I can be a part of what you are doing. Amen. Let's lift our hands to him right now. Jesus, you see my heart, my desire, my will, Lord God. I want to reach as many people as possible. I want to know you like I've never known you before. God, give me a holy boldness to be your witness, to be your light. Lord God, I know I can do this. I know I can share the gospel. Lord God, to my friends, to my neighbors, to my coworkers, to those that live in my neighborhood, Lord God. I want to be a metro missionary, Lord God. I want to do a work where I'm at. Lord God, I want to minister to people that are hurting, those that are crying out for help right now. Lord God, I have a desire to do your will. God, I want to be like you. Jesus, I love you. Greater things than these, it's John 14 and 12. Greater things than these shall you do, because I go away, man. The Lord's put his work into your hands so you can do his will, his work. He went away to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. And we want to bring as many people with us as possible.